thank you for being here. And then our prelude by Scarlett, and then we will move forward from there.
You'll please stand for our call to worship. This is the day.
Lord our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of this day and the power of it and through your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would grant us an epiphany of sight, an epiphany of hearing, an epiphany of the Holy Spirit, that we may see and hear what you say through spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and we would listen and be part of this day. Grant us, as we prepare our hearts and minds and souls to worship, an opening of our spirit to yours. And may we be called to your worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before Mary Lynn comes and sings with you the first Noel, Let me give you an idea of where we are in the church year. This is the first day or first Sunday. It's actually the first day after the Epiphany, which was yesterday. Yesterday, if we had been following old tradition, we would have been in worship for Epiphany Day, and we would have come and we would have celebrated what used to be, now this is 400 years ago, okay, what used to be called We Three Kings or Three Kings Day. What are you celebrating? The coming of the wise men. You would have met the next day, in this case, because Sunday follows immediately after the Epiphany Day, and you would have celebrated the baptism of our Lord, and that would have been your next day of celebration, moving into the Epiphany season. For those of y'all who are calendar people who watch those things, I'm doing that, except I'm going to do the baptism of our Lord next Sunday, instead of doing it back-to-back days on Saturday and Sunday, as would have been the tradition 400 years ago, not 4 years ago, or even before that. So know that that's where we are as far as our time together with Epiphany. We'll move through Epiphany, and we'll look for sights of the Epiphany in different ways, in different forms for us over the next few weeks. And then, believe it or not, in just a few weeks, you will enter Lent. And Easter will be here before you have time to breathe hard. Seasons will move quickly over the next few weeks and months, so prepare yourself for that. But today, we're working on the three kings, three wise men, as they come and see Christ. So let us prepare our hearts for that as Mary Lynn now comes and leads us in the first Noel, followed by our confession and pardon for our communion service. Page 245 are on the screen.
Stand up.
On a cold winter's night, not
And as you remain standing, I ask that you would join me with the words that are on the screen or on page 890 in your hymn book, our prayer of confession and pardon. Let us pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Let us pray in silence. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all of our goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. And allow us in praying for each other, by confessing our sins and by lifting up our thoughts in word and deed, and by listening to the prayer requests that we have had, and by hearing the concern and the voices of those who struggle, for those who need safe journey, for those who need your will in all that we do. Lift us up and heal us. Keep us safe. Be with our families. Be with all that we are. And give us a strength beyond anything we can possibly imagine. And in doing so, grant us your strength. Now lift us up. And let us find your healing and your power in all that we say and do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And as we continue standing, We Three Kings, page 254, let us sing together. Thank you. seated. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Good morning again. Let us pray together. And now in the gift of your love and the power of your Holy Spirit, let us give to you as you have given to us in the fullness and the completeness of our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to the Lord.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Who do we follow? And what road do we follow him on? Have we heard the words of God send us in the right direction? Have we listened to the Holy Spirit tell us when to stop, when to change, and when to stay the course? Are we, O Lord, following you as we should? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So y'all have heard this wise man's story for how many years in your life? You've been in church, you've read it. I think we read it to our children before while they were still in the womb, because they were all born in January, so they were there, and so we were reading stories to them out of the Bible, and I think they heard it then. I think we know this story. Thing about it, though, is that we conveniently leave out part of it here and there. We went, when we were on vacation, we went to Savannah. We took what was supposed to be 7 days originally. We managed to stay 3, but we had to come home. But we went and saw this glorious church that had been decorated, prepared for Advent and for Christmas Day and Christmastide, and the front of it, and it was a huge church, was the setting of the creche, of the manger scene, and had all the animals and had all the trappings and all the things that we see with ours as we look. Ours is still up, but it looked good because this is the last Sunday. Churches always look kind of boring after everything's taken down, don't they? But it's the way it is. You know, you look at it and you see our scene, and we conveniently forget that the wise men actually aren't part of it. But the story goes better with them being part of it, so we kind of keep singing songs to it. And how we know that is they came to a house. Now, could it have been the next day? Yes. Could it be a year and a half later? Yes. We go by what Herod does, and after he finds out they've escaped, he has children 2 years and younger killed, males, to make sure he gets the Christ child, or so he thinks, in that group. And we watch as this unfolds with him following a star. You know, one of the things I get all the time from folk is, and they word it in different ways, some of them very theologically worded. Some of them wouldn't know theology if it hit them, so they word it different ways. But they all word it kind of the same thing, which says, do you actually believe the stories in the Bible? I mean, do you actually think a whale swallowed a human and went swimming for 3 days? You know that's scientifically impossible. Do you actually believe they parted the Red Sea and people drowned? Or even better, do you actually believe that God found a way to drown an entire army in the reed seed with only 6 inches of water? Do you actually believe those stories, whichever you look at them? And do you actually think and believe in a virgin birth? And do you actually believe in a star that guides wise men from the east? Because it's hard for us to fathom the impossible. Your faith, by its nature, is not really possible. It's an impossibility guided by the Holy Spirit that sends your soul into belief in something you can't explain, but you truly, fully believe in what's being said. And so as we watch the wise men, it's another fun part of this is we've got 3 wise men, right? And we have 3 wise men because there's gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there must only be 3, right? Well, they come from the east. We're not sure how far, but far enough for it to be farther than it is from here to Walmart. I mean, you know, they come on a journey, and they bring things on camels, more than likely. And almost always they travel in groups, because if they don't, their stuff is going to be stolen, and they're going to be killed on the journey. So there's groups of them that travel. Well, thanks to that process, if we start looking at the story, we realize there may have been just one, but more than likely they were more like 8 or 10 or 12. But they carried 3 gifts. I always love the gifts, the way we portray them. They come in little boxes. You get this little box of gold and this little box of frankincense and this little box of myrrh. Have you ever went back, I don't know how much you read Old Testament, if you ever went back and watched how much was brought to the kings of the time of David and Solomon when they reigned? When people from foreign countries brought gifts to them, they start telling you they brought 747 pounds and they brought 3,800 pounds of this and they brought 9,000 pounds of this, and they always bring these huge gift amounts to people. And almost always, they never would fit in little boxes. The point here is, of course, is that we have this tendency to limit the stories that we have a hard time understanding how they unfolded anyway. 3 wise men. Somebody's even give them names. I don't know what their names are because we don't know. It's just like we named the guy that wouldn't let Jesus and Mary have a room. And so we gave him a name because he was at the inn and wouldn't let him in. And we do all these things, but what we don't do is let the story speak to us. We don't fathom them bringing more than 3 little boxes of stuff across a desert to a place they don't know where they're going, but they're following a star, and they meet with a king who's eventually going to have children killed because they did it, and going to be warned of a dream to go out another way, or they might be killed by him also. We can't fathom the story of them doing this in such a great and magnificent way and coming to this child and leaving gifts for someone that they don't fully understand who he is. But they know that the star has sent them there to worship and pay homage to him. And yet I question whether all of us or any of us have ever fully understood who God is. And my answer would be, I don't understand. Because when I fully understand God, then I become on the equal plane as God, and none of us will ever be there. So we don't fully understand who God is. We don't fully understand the totality of what he can do. We don't fully understand the fullness of how God wants to love us. We simply walk in faith. So the wise men walk in faith following a star. Isn't that fabulous? Isn't that just something? And then they fail to ask directions, as all good men do, and so they have to stop and ask the king how to get there. And the king says, well, I don't know, but I've asked the scholars, and the scholars say Bethlehem. Okay, we'll go. And if you ever notice that when they leave him, the star, which must have went away for a minute, comes back and leads them to the very place that he's staying in. And then they stop there. If it'd been Mary Lynn and I, we'd have been talking, going down the freeway, missed the exit. I mean, y'all don't ever do that, do you? I mean, we once we get talking, Gracie tries to interrupt us and say, weren't you supposed to turn off back there? Well, the star's still up there. We're waiting on the star to recalculate to send us back. I mean, you know, think of the process of what they're doing. And if we miss the wonderment of this moment, because see, they're going to pay homage to somebody they don't know. All they've got is a sign. It's a start. Had somebody email me the other day and say, you don't really believe a star led them across all that way, do you? And then they got lost and have to ask Herod, and the star comes back. You don't really believe all that, do you? Yeah, I do. Can I prove it? Let me help you with that. No. Do I need to prove it? Let me help you with that again. No. It's like salvation. I don't have to prove to anybody that I believe in Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I know I do. And I don't have to prove that God saved me. Why? Because I know He has. How do I know? Again, y'all heard this now for the last few weeks more than usual. And you might pick up on this, maybe a theme over the next few weeks. It's called faith. Something I believe we're sorely lacking in. Where's our faith? Well, David, it's hard to have faith when this is happening. That, and I know it is. I get it. It's hard. But you know what? I look back at the hard times. And number one, I always learn more in bad times than I do in good. I need to talk to God about that. I really wish it was the other way around, don't y'all? But secondly, I always find out how much I led through that time and how much God led through that time. It's not that we need to follow the star, which they did. We need to follow the one the star was chasing. We always think about the star guiding them, and that's what happens. But you ever think about the fact that the star is chasing the one that created it? That the star is chasing the one that spoke it into being? The star wants to go and be above the Savior as much as they want to find the Savior. And if you don't believe that, just remember, no other voice but Jesus said to the people who wanted all of His apostles and them to quit shouting, Hosanna, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, if they shut up, who's going to cry out? The very rocks are going to cry out and say it. I want to remind you that you are a people of faith that believe that donkeys talk. Go read the Old Testament. That's who you are. Isn't it glorious to follow that star and that person? You are the faithful that believe those things. And even though I gave Keith a little hard time about the Southern Baptist pastor, they are the faithful also. Why? If they preach Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, is the one that you believe in and you're saved, they're the faithful. I don't care what label we put on ourselves. That's the faithful. I want to challenge y'all to do something for me, and then we'll move to communion. But this is all about today and the wise man. Where I want to link things together. I want to challenge you to go to the Gospel of John and read the story, the chapters of the crucifixion. John spends a long time with crucifixion. You got to start with the Last Supper and move forward. And immediately upon finishing that, I want you to go to Luke and read Luke 2, 1 through 20 of the birth. And I want you to watch the miracle of birth, life, and life after death. And remind yourselves that every one of us believe in a life after death that we cannot explain, but has been promised. So we three kings of Orient are, I love the song. Someday I'm going to change the word to say, are we 90 kings of Orient are, just to have more fun with it. But I want you to hear it. Because just as Jesus came to the table to give that Last Supper, that communion with his apostles, the three kings, the wise people, or as one of my dear friends who's an Episcopal priest says, the wise dudes showed up. Yeah, I got in trouble for that, he did, but I thought it was fabulous. The wise people showed up and they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh so that the Holy Family would have what they needed to live in Egypt as they escaped and got away from Herod for him killing everybody. Jesus comes to the table, and at that moment, he comes to give them food that will feed them through all eternity. The gift of everlastingness comes here. You will find on the screen or page 15 in your hymnal the Great Thanksgiving. I'm reading out of the Book of Worship, the full, but you and I will intersect and be together on this as we go through. So let us join together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness, brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where Christ was born. And in your signs and witnesses in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to this light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you have brought forth your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, remembrance of these, your mighty actions, Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offered for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask the ones that are going to come and help to come at this time. Body of Christ broken for you. It's the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Come as God leads you to come, as they come to serve you this morning. Thank you.
If you'll please stand for our last hymn, page 249, There's a Song in the Air.
Thank you so much for being part of this morning worship. I hope you were able to hear me kind of as the day went along. Did our best. It is good to be in the house of God again for our visitors that are here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. It is good to have you part of this congregation as we worship together. Now go in peace. May the love of Jesus Christ walk with you. And may the joy and the power of God go with you this day. And after we sing,
Go in peace.
You will be dismissed. Let's go in the name of God. Amen.